listening to the Simple Worship Podcast, recorded each week at University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. To learn more about our services, ministries, and outreach opportunities, please visit universitychristian.org.
Today's scripture is from the Gospel of John. And this is a familiar one. It harkens back to the 23rd Psalm, actually, if you're familiar with that one. Hear these words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also, so that they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So speaking of the 23rd Psalm, it's one that we as preachers read a lot, particularly at memorial services or celebrations of life. And I heard a story once about two men who were asked to read the 23rd Psalm in a worship service. And the first one stood up, and this guy was a professional public speaker, an orator with a big background of doing these types of things. And he read this psalm with so much voice technicalities, as if you were listening to a drama on the radio. He knew when to pause. He knew when to raise his voice. He knew when to lower the voice. And in short, he read the passage really well and very dramatically. And when he was done, the crowd just applauded because they were so taken away by how good he had read it. And the second one stood up, and he started reading, but unlike the first one, this man had never spoken in front of a crowd before. And as you may or may not know this, but public speaking is the number one fear, more than death, of people in this country, maybe in the world, I don't know. So he was obviously a little bit nervous, but he read it so calmly and so full of conviction and emotion. And after he got done reading, no one moved. It was like one of those things that you can just feel filled the whole room. They were just quiet and in deep meditation. And after a moment of this silence, the first professional speaker stood up in a very shaky voice, said, "Do you know how the two of us differ? You see, I know the psalm, but this man knows the shepherd." And what a good reminder of that. And we come to this passage of, I am the good shepherd. This is a phrase that those listening would certainly understand, because the people that Jesus was talking to was a culture that was based on agriculture, was based on farming and the raising of sheep. And these things that Jesus was talking about between the good shepherd and the hired hands were literally the difference between life and death. Whether or not you had successful crops, whether or not your flock survived, could mean your family's survival. And it is said, and I don't know that it's true, and those of you with bigger backgrounds would know this, that sheep are not very smart animals. I think they are in a lot of ways, but not in a lot of ways. They're fluffy. They're cute. They're fun for kids to pet at petting zoos. And dare I say it, they taste really good. But they can't take care of themselves. They need someone to care for them. They have no natural defenses against predators, and so they need that caretaker. And Jesus points out that there is a difference between the hired hands and the actual shepherd. He's reminding his listeners that these folks that are just doing it for a buck, at the first sign of trouble, they're going to turn tail and run. They have no interest in protecting those sheep. However, the good shepherd will defend his flock. And Jesus is making a point here. He is differentiating between his message and him and the religious leaders of the time. So an actual shepherd and hired hands. These so-called leaders didn't really care about their flock. They had lost their way, and they were more interested in the power and the influence and the money that came from being a hired hand of the church. They didn't really care about the flock, but the good shepherd, Jesus reminds them, is different. The good shepherd will leave 99 sheep behind just to find that one who had wandered away. The good shepherd will literally form a gate with his own body. And they actually did this, laying down in the one entrance to the enclosure so that if anything tried to cross over that threshold to harm those sheep, the shepherd will know immediately and protect them. The good shepherd will also know his flock, each one of them personally, will know their calls, will know how to recognize them. And our good shepherd knows each of us, which is his flock, intimately. He knows our voices even when we don't speak. He knows our voices even when those voices come from our hearts and even from the darkest and seemingly distant points in our life. And it's funny that Jesus uses this example. It's ironic because this was not exactly the most respected profession in the first century in the Middle East. Shepherds were really thought of as kind of the bottom of society. They were dirty. They were outsiders. But there's a little bit of history there. And Jesus is reminding them that one of the greatest, although greatly flawed, kings in the history of God's people was first a shepherd. Before he was king, David was a simple shepherd. And he took down Goliath. And who were the first to hear about the birth of Christ? It certainly wasn't the kings and the Pharisees and the rich and the powerful. No, God chose to send his angels to notify the shepherds first. The bottom of society. That's who he chose, lowly shepherds, because God has a way of raising the lowest to the highest and eliminating the hierarchies and groups that society makes and caste systems and that humans have and continue to create, separating the worthy and the unworthy, the deserving and the undeserving, the us and the them. And God finally says, that's enough. There is no them. There are no others. There is only us. This one flock that Jesus keeps talking about. And Jesus in this passage is reminding his disciples who Jesus is and whose they are and whose we are. We're Jesus's. And he is speaking of the coming kingdom where there will be one flock, all of us following our good shepherd. All of us. He emphasizes that. All of us. And that's the work that we have to do. So if the shepherd is selfless and provides comfort and safety to the sheep, what does that say about the flock? What do they have? What do we have? I mean, we don't really like to be referred to as sheep, right? It's actually been turned into a pretty derogatory term these days. But we, as that flock, following the good shepherd, we have peace and we have hope. Knowing that we have the good shepherd looking out for us should bring us peace. The literal shepherds can't keep the rain from falling, can't keep the storms from raging, can't keep the wolves from coming after the flock. But the good shepherd will comfort his sheep. The good shepherd will let them know that the rain and the storm and the predators won't last forever and that he'll protect them with his own life if needed. And he promises the flock that someday when this pasture fades into memory, the eternal one is greater than anything we can imagine, and that's where the hope comes in. The future and our part in it. What we have to play. Not just our eternal reward, that's important obviously, but the reward that we can work for now. The difference that we can make now because of that hope, where all of the hate and division comes to an end and all will actually join together into an us, into a flock under the good shepherd, and reminds us that no matter how bad it seems now, there is hope for peace. And that we, as followers, have a part of that peace. We can be a part of that kingdom building. And if the good shepherd knows his flock, then there's a little bit of reciprocity that needs to happen because we're intended to know our shepherd as well. And so how do we do that? Well, we read the Word. We come together in community, in worship, in service, in study, and all of those things forming this community. And we talk to our shepherd. We just talk. The good shepherd already knows what troubles us, what's bothering us, what brings us joy. So we go and we talk it over. Whenever and wherever you are, pray. I had a pastor mentor once that told me that her one goal in life was to become, was to achieve a constant state of prayer so that all moments of her waking day were spent in a prayerful attitude. Now, did that mean actively praying to God every second of every day? No, but to be in that attitude, to be in that posture, and to always be aware that being in that dialogue and that conversation. The sheep depend on their shepherd, and we should depend on our good shepherd. And he promises us that we can when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We're in this together. And the good news is that we're under the guidance and protection of the Good Shepherd, and that's what it means when we say that we're talking about following Jesus. It's a relationship. One of a shared dialogue, one of a shared trust, both in Christ, but also in each other, in the community that we have. And so may we listen for His voice and follow His commands, and in all that we do, live in the Good Shepherd's love. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Simple Worship Podcast. If you enjoyed today's sermon, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with others. To learn more, please visit universitychristian.org.